Shabbat Shalom. This week, our parasha is Korach, named after the man who started a rebellion against Moses. Parasha Korach covers numbers 16:1 through 18:32. In this parasha, we see what happens when we attempt to force God to obey our desires and thinking and the devastation that it brings. We begin in chapter 16 with Korach or Korah, a Levite leading 250 men to rebel against Moses. Once again, the people were grumbling against Moses' leadership, and Korah and these men thought that they could do a lot better job than Moses and Aaron. Now, among these men were those part of the judging council, and they were considered respected leaders among the people. So this isn't just the rank and file rebelling, but people who are considered respected elders in the community. The rebels argued that if all of Israel was holy and the Lord was with each person, why was Aaron and Moses at the top and only Aaron's family allowed to offer sacrifices? But what they really desired was to overthrow Moses and Aaron's leadership and take it for themselves because they believed they could do a much better job. Now, Moses responded by asking Korah and these men to act on what they were claiming. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I'm holy enough to offer sacrifices to the Lord. It's another thing to actually try it. So Moses told them to basically put their money where their mouth was, to actually attempt to do such a thing. So he told Korah and his followers to return tomorrow with censers and offer incense to the Lord. And Aaron would also make an offering to the Lord. And if Korah and his followers deserved to lead, then the Lord would choose them and show they were as holy as they claimed. Now, while these rebels thought they were just fighting with Moses and Aaron, they were reminded by Moses that they are going up against the Lord, who is the sole reason Moses and Aaron have their leadership positions. They were given them by the Lord. And Moses also attempted to give instructions to two of the other leaders, Dathan and Abiram. But they refused to acknowledge his authority and complained about his leadership as well. So the next day, everybody gathers together, Korah and his followers gathered on one side of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron on the opposite. And it was now time for the Lord to show who was truly in charge, with the presence of the Lord appearing to everyone. He told Moses and Aaron to have everyone move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And so Moses turned to our people and said that if these men die naturally, then he was not sent by the Lord. But if the Lord does something new and opens up the ground and swallows them and everything they own, tents and people included, then it is proof that Moses was sent by the Lord and these men have sinned against Adonai. Right as he finished speaking, the Lord acted by opening up the ground and swallowing up the leaders of the rebellion, their tents, and their families, then closing the ground again. And I can only imagine what sort of sight this was, some sort of earthquake or whatever, how the Lord opened up the earth, swallowing them whole, and then sealing it up again. And if I was there, I would have probably panicked, and that's what everybody else did as well. So everybody begins to panic and worry they're going to die as well. And then fire comes down from heaven and burns up the 250 men attempting to offer incense. It's a horrible day. In the aftermath of this event, the censers that were used were considered holy because of what the Lord had done. So they were hammered into sheets to be placed on the altar as a memorial that no one should attempt to violate the Lord's commands and assume they can go above the Lord. Now, you would think after this display of Adonai's power, fire coming down from heaven, the earth swallowing all these people up, our people would understand that the Lord was in control. But sadly, this is not the case. Anybody who tells you miracles are what you need to make people believe really needs to read the Torah. The next day, all the people began to grumble and say that Moses and Aaron had killed the Lord's people. Apparently, many were sympathetic to Korah and the rebels. When they went to seize Moses and Aaron, the presence of the Lord was shown again, and a plague began to kill our people. Almost 15,000 people died before Aaron was able to make atonement for our people and show once again that his place as high priest was ordained by the Lord. Now you would think this would be enough, but chapter 17 records Adonai's final word on who was to be of the priesthood. He instructed Moses to have every leader of each tribe put their name on a staff, and Aaron to put his name on the one for the tribe of Levi. The staffs were placed in the Lord's presence, and the one that budded with flowers would show who was to be of the priesthood. Aaron's staff budded and produced almonds after it had been placed in the Ark of the Covenant. After it had been placed in the Lord's presence, and then it was put in the Ark of the Covenant as a perpetual sign that Aaron's family were to be the priests of Israel. And all our people saw this sign to end their rebellious attitudes. Our parasha ends with chapter 18, which records the duties and offerings for the priests and Levites. Now, Korah's rebellion is one of the most remembered events in our people's history for a very good reason. It serves as an everlasting reminder what happens when we attempt to assert our wills above the Lord's. Moses and Aaron were not without their faults, but regardless of their personal sins, it was wrong to attempt to overthrow those God had clearly, very clearly, chosen to lead. Korah and his rebels probably believed they were doing the right thing. They were convinced that their plans were proper. The rebels were clearly well-liked, well-respected, and considered wise enough to be judges, many of them. But the fact they had to twist Adonai's commands about being holy to justify taking control of the priesthood shows the sinfulness of what they were doing. They were willing to go to sinfully extreme lengths to get what they wanted. The ends justify the means. You know, there's a saying that no one believes themselves to be the villain. We can perform some amazing mental gymnastics to justify our actions and rationalize our choices. So Parashat Korach teaches us how important it is to discern through God's truth, primarily through his word, if everything we do is right. Unfortunately, we can be just like Korah and twist God's word to justify our selfish desires and personal theology, and one only needs to look at how many sinful theologies are taught today. If we were to go through them all, we would be here for several hours, and that's only through modern day. It's important that the more we grow in Scripture, the more we check ourselves to make sure we are not violating the Lord's clear command with theological gymnastics. May the Lord enable us to learn from Korah's rebellion the importance of submitting our wills to his infinitely better one. May the Lord also vindicate and shelter us when we are unjustly attacked for following his commandments. Thank you.